not last ever album, I would say, is the second release of one band called Black Majesty, Melbourne's very own, and I want to introduce here and welcome Henny and Stevie. How are you guys?
Very good, thanks.
Good, thanks, mate.
Terrific. Now, obviously, you guys are not going to be around for too long, but yesterday was the all-announced album release, officially, of your new piece. Now, tell us a little bit about the album in general.
Yeah, it's very exciting. The album got released in Germany, or Europe yesterday, I should say. So I'll be doing the rounds, and already we're starting to get some reviews with the album, which have been very positive. So looking forward to people, you know, to hear what we're up to right now, being our second, you know, release. And, yeah, really, really, really looking forward to promoting the album. That's the big thing for us right now, and we've taken some time. It's taken us a good 2 years between the release of this one and Sands of Time. So, yeah, now's the time to do some promo and play some shows.
Do interviews like here.
Yeah. Well, lots more overseas, I would suppose, in Europe in particular. But anyway, you have actually pleasured us just before the promo was released with an exclusive track, which was Dragon Reborn. And last week we actually featured the cover version of Six Ribbons. Now, just in general with the album, okay? This is the only two tracks people have heard now so far, at least on the show. Talk us a little bit through all the other tracks, the music in general. How is it different from Sands of Time? Or what has changed? What do you guys have a feel to the album? What is better? What is heavier? What is sweeter? What is, you know, give us a bit of the singe of it from your perspective.
Sure. Okay. The exact same recording lineup as the first album. I think with this new album, it's more so just a progression for us to establish our sound. We got to work on the songs a lot more than the first album. In some cases, after initially recording the three-track sampler and getting a great response from labels, they wanted the first album to be released, so we were under a bit of pressure to, you know, write the songs and finish up the album. So we've had a little bit more time on this one. We got to demo up all the songs beforehand, which is definitely not the case with Sands of Time. So, yeah, I think definitely it's probably a more refined effort. I think it's maybe a little bit more of an all-round effort. But, again, the people, you know, judge that.
Exactly right. Was there pressure on you guys? Or did you feel pressure on yourselves?
I think so. Yeah, I think so. There's definitely pressure because the first album got great reviews. And especially, like, you know, where our main market is in Europe, there's definitely a pressure for us to come up with a good second album, because I know it myself. Like, if I go and buy an album from a band who releases a great first album, and then you get the second album, and if it's not up to scratch, then, you know, you're kind of disappointed. If you lose the fans, I think, you know, second album, well, then it takes normally a good couple of albums to get the fans back. So I think definitely there was a bit of pressure on us. So, yeah.
Well, having that heard that you say, I mean, in that genre of music, it's very, very hard to be original as such, or being standing out as an original band anyway. But I think it's a very fair bet to say that your music style has not changed far enough that anybody could not identify you as Black Majesty by any of the songs out of here, apart from Six Ribbons, and that's probably John's vocals again that bring the album back to Black Majesty.
Do you guys find it strange that you're still referred to as a progressive metal band? I see that in a few reviews, and I think, what are you guys listening to the same albums that I am?
It's kind of interesting for us, because we actually were discussing this on the way here, because even though, like, I think there were, like, progressive elements on the first album, I don't really think ourselves, we have believed that we were a progressive metal band, even though we like progressive bands and stuff like that. But the first album had touches of it, and we liked that. But, you know, I think we're definitely a melodic metal band, and I think this is the progression of where we're at. So,
Well, some of the song structures are, I suppose, By vague terms, you can say progressive, because you don't just play your four bar chorus, refrain, bridge, you know.
Yep.
You do change up things a little in the song, so.
Yeah, I think we're just being true to ourselves where we're at. We when I said we felt a bit of pressure, pressure to come up with hopefully what we thought, you know, the best thing we could do, but we weren't trying to really think about, oh gosh, you know, should we be putting this little progressive bit in or putting this, cliche, you know, power metal thing or whatever. It just came out naturally, and where we're at, we were just trying to write good songs. So hopefully that reflects on the album. That's the important thing.
What was the earliest song that you wrote for this album?
That would have to be New Horizons. I think that's
my favourite song of the album so far too.
We wrote that song while we were finishing up, while we were actually finishing Sands of Time. So we've had that one for a while. Yeah. Apart from probably just a couple more ideas that are on the album.
Yeah.
So it's kind of still got that Sands of Time kind of vibe to it actually. So that's what we feel as well.
Well, one very distinct difference I found on the album, and I'm sorry to say that Gio is not here, even though he wouldn't talk on the air anyway, I guess.
Exactly.
He'd be hiding in the corner.
Yeah. But having that said, I actually find that he definitely sings a lot in the lower range here on this album, meaning that he actually extends his range by doing so and adds a little bit more drama to the vocals, you know? Because, I mean, his screams are, without doubt, they're just right up there, you know?
There's good ones on here, too.
But he actually, a lot of songs, he actually comes out right from the bottom, and he allows for a lot more room to build up within the songs, and has a bit more of a, I wouldn't say, a bit of a darker edge to some of the songs, and I think it actually works quite well.
Sure.
Yeah. I compared him last week to Michael Kiske when he sings in the lower range.
Well, he's a huge fan, but I don't know if that sits very well with him.
Well, in the screams he's a little bit different. But anyway, now, obviously, having the album released, there's not much we can say. I just wanted to go back very quickly on Sands of Time, because that has been out for a while. How did actually that go in regards to sales and internationally? Which continents or places did it do better, which not? Give us a bit of a spiel.
Okay, well, probably the main place it did best in was Germany. Well, that's where our record company is based. In terms of how well it sold, well, Lim has told him, we're signed with Lim Music Products, that we're one of the best sellers for a debut album, so that was really promising to us. And I think that's reflected as well. He's getting behind this new album, Silent Company, by releasing it as the stock 9 songs, but also as a digipack, which comes with 2 bonus songs, as well as a video clip as well.
So what are the bonus tracks?
One, which was a song that didn't fit on the album, more in terms of time-wise. Lim was sort of, he wanted the length of the album to be a certain length, being which
50
about
minutes,
about 50
it?
Minutes. Yeah. So we had to choose one song to be left off, and Chasing Time was the one that was left off. No one would have heard that yet, because we didn't play that one live. It wasn't really road tested. A few songs were, but that one wasn't. We all think it was a good song, but it was just hard. Yeah, as you know, everybody, how do you choose one of your babies? So which one's going to go? So it was very hard. So and the other bonus track was an acoustic version and piano version of one of the songs off the first album called Guardian.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yeah, so it's something a little bit different.
It's
and
a long song anyway.
Yeah, long song, and highlights again the awesome vocals of John and his cousin Danny.
But so Danny does come in and sing on the acoustic as well.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, oh, what can we say?
I'm hanging.
He's the man.
I think I'm signed up for a digipack version anyway, because I'm hanging for it to arrive. So.
Yeah, it's something a little bit different. Yeah.
I know that you recorded predominantly with Endel, but Hannah, you had a bit of a trip overseas last year. Can you tell everyone about that?
Yeah, well, November last year, well, it would have been the 1st of November, actually, we got there. Pavel actually started recording the drums in Caro Studios with producer Pete Silk, who is obviously from Iron Savior and also produces bands like Wizard, Paragon and Saxon.
He's done a few. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and he's a great musician and fantastic guy too.
And very bald.
he's really cool though. Yeah,
front of Husband to Blind Guardian.
he's done a great job. It was really fun working with him, and I think it did actually make a lot of difference. So when you actually hear the new album and compare it to the last album production-wise and the way the drums have been recorded, it was actually really worth it and worth the experience as well.
Were you worried about having two different producers, one for the drums and one for the rest? Did that come into your mind, or is it just the fact that it's Pete Seek, will
No, it didn't really come to our minds, because that's what a lot of musicians are doing, or bands are doing, and it's actually a good idea for any band to do, because you can always, you know, it's always good to have a producer to spend his time on the drums, you know, whether it could take 1 week or two.
Not only that, it puts a name onto your album as well.
That's true as well. Yeah, that's definite. Yeah, that's true.
Cool. Well, you have been in Germany. Last November, you said?
Yep, it was November, yeah, when we started.
And you're going to go back to Germany?
Yes, we are.
So come on, tell us, guys.
Yeah, it's all exciting. We leave next Tuesday.
Good, we got you in just in time then.
That's right. Yeah, well, it's been a busy schedule. We just played Sydney on the weekend, and that was a pretty cool show, and a bit of match practice before we go over there, and we've got a few gigs lined up. But the main reason behind the shows overseas is to promote the new album, so we're doing lots of interviews and promotion, and also through live gigs. We've got open up for our first show at the Germany Open Air Festival, Headbangers Open Air Festival, alongside lots of great bands, and from there we play another, you know, popular place called the Headbangers Ballroom, and then we play to Czech Republic, do a few of our own shows, and we finish up with another cool festival with Hammerfall and Edguy.
Tell me, because we've had a few local bands go overseas already, have you spoken to those bands about what do you expect, but what they experienced over there? Have you done that sort of thing?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Look, chatted to Sylvia, who's one of our good friends from Vanishing Point, and Danny from IFEAR, and his experiences with Pegasus in the past. So yeah, definitely, it is one thing. We were actually looking at our schedule today and thinking we don't have many days off. So in many ways it's a good thing. But
it's one hangover day.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that's the way we're gonna go, Mr. Mohammed?
No, Hanny, we've already had a chat to Hanny. He's going to be very well behaved.
And he's going to be permanently pissed.
Well, I'll tell you what. In Germany, let's just hope that our main big boss, keeps us under control, because we're meeting with our record company the second day we arrive. So he's taking us out to dinner and drinks. So
that's all Hanny's concerned about.
Exactly.
Just,
yeah.
So. He'll be at the bar. Don't worry about the food.
Drinks and metal.
Yeah.
That's it. Are you going to have a chance to see other bands, do you think, as well, when you're over there?
Well, we've been working out, well, we get to, obviously, we're hanging out to see, like, obviously, Hammerfall, Edguy, and that festival, but after actually the tour, like, some of us are actually going our separate ways, and, you know, some of us go off to Italy, some of us stay in Germany, Earthshaker Fest, which is on, Manowar.
Yep. That's a really good lineup too.
I'll tell you what, our bassist is so excited. He's waiting every day, checking the mailbox for his tickets. You know, obviously we're huge Manowar fans. And
is that the one Christopher Lee's getting up and doing the narration?
That's the one, yeah.
That's the one, and Master Plan's on the bill. It's a huge.
Feinstein.
Gotta love Germany, don't you? Gotta love Europe. Yeah.
Well, it's a numbers game, you know. If you crunch the numbers here, Australia has only like 20 million people.
Of course.
And when you look at the metalheads that are cruising around here, I think if we would have Germany's capacity, we would have a very, very good metal set.
That's a common question that we actually get asked quite often, even especially like not only in Europe but in America. Like I've actually been overseas and they commonly ask that, like, you know, how does the band do in Australia? And look, you know, we do okay. You know, we draw not too bad crowds, but the thing that a lot of people don't understand is, like, the population in Australia compared to maybe one state or country, you know, whether it be America or, you know, Europe, is like, yeah.
But we have a lot of quality bands here, and people, you know, look down on the scene. Even the people in Australia look down on it. But we've got things to be proud of here. We've got quality bands. Okay, we're so far away from everyone, from the centre of where it's all happening. There's so much happening here.
Definitely, but I think you can see that with some of the bands that have been signed here in the past. You know, whether it be 10 years, and that just shows how the scene has taken off, and how many more bands are going to be signed. It's great to be able to play shows and, you know, have a really great lineup, you know, so yeah, really good, and hopefully that's going to come through when we go overseas.
Speaking of lineup, what lineup is playing overseas? Who will you have with you?
Okay, yep, obviously Hanny and myself on guitar, John on vocals, We actually played our first show a couple of weeks back in Melbourne with our backing band, which is Endel Rivers on keyboards, who actually produces, who's produced both of our albums. So he's going to be playing keys for us. Evan Harris, who played bass on both albums, is playing with us. And Glenn Roach, who's another awesome drummer, and he's going to be doing the shows with us overseas, as well as our drummer Pavel Konvalinka, who we've been away from for a little while. He's going to be guesting on, you know, a couple of tracks. And even though Pavel is our full-time drummer, it's just one of those things we need to rehearse as soon as we arrive in Europe.
Yep.
We basically have one day off and then we play a show. So at each show, Pavel will play, you know, a few songs and, you know, slowly more and more as it goes on. So Glenn's been a great, you know, sport basically. So he's really, you know, awesome to be helping us out this way.
So, Hanny, no beers until after the 24-hour rehearsal with Pavel.
Yeah, no problem. actually, rehearsals with Pavel. that's at a studio underneath a pub. Where we stayed last time.
Yeah, you've got that all planned out, don't you?
Yes, I have.
We've been reminded of this quite a few times, so Hanny keeps on going on about that.
Well, you consider yourself warned for the future.
One question with that song Six Ribbons that we played, why that song, and who actually does the backing vocals on that?
Yeah, that song came about by, Lim had the idea of us doing a cover, which was originally going to be the bonus track on our CD. He was so happy with it that he said, guys, it's got to be on the album. The song came about as a child. I loved that song. You know, had an older brother who played it, you know, heaps and heaps. And for me, it was a song that I always thought was a quality song and had that salty kind of influence that I thought would work really well. And we wanted to do something Australian.
Yep.
And that John English track from, I think it's, you know, pretty old now, from 1978, I think it stood the test of time as being a great song, and comes from the Gone with the Wind miniseries.
Yep.
I thought John, you know, really did a great effort. We demoed it up. Hanny, you know, did some awesome, you know, work there. And we got a guest vocalist, female vocalist, for the female part, because the song originally was recorded that way. A girl named Susie Gorichan, who is an up-and-comer. And tell you what a voice. She's only, I think, about 19 years old. And it blew us away.
Yeah.
John, who's an awesome singer in his own right, was, you know, he could not believe how good this singer was, because she was a friend of mine. And I said, you know, Gio, trust me, I've got this singer who's going to do the part. And he said, Steve, I've got to hear her. I said, look, you know, just wait till she comes into the studio. And tiny girl, the best personality you could have.
Big voice.
Yeah, and what a huge voice. Huge voice. And Endel Rivers, you know, basically fell off his chair when he heard how good she was. So, yeah, we were just rapt to work with her. And this is her first recorded effort on a, you know, a signed album. So she's just so buzzed. And hopefully she'll be able to, you know, get up on stage if I was doing that part.
Mm-hmm. Well, who never knows what's happening. Saying about or talking about going up on stage, obviously, your album is basically released as of yesterday officially, but you guys going overseas, so that's going to delay things a lot here in Australia. We're talking here album launch, etc. So obviously you just said after the tour everybody's going to spray off in different directions and do their own little thing. So we're expecting later in the year a official CD launch still?
Yeah, definitely. Look, when I said we're going off doing a few other things, it's just more for us to really enjoy some of the hard work that we've put in, like, after recording the album. So we're having, like, you know, a 2-week break.
Hanny's going, like, on, you know, a pub crawl.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's off to Italy. And,
Hanny, I'm only joking.
I'll speak to you later.
In the pub.
Yeah, I'll buy you around. Yeah, so we'll be looking at, you know, getting back together in late August. So we'll, you know, spend a bit of time to recover. You know, add to the set, yeah, recover from the shows in Europe, and we'll probably be looking at October time for our album launch. And we really are keen to take it right around Australia. Already we've chatted with a few, you know, other bands. I know Vanishing Point's keen on doing a few shows, and as well as I Fear. So hopefully we can get together a really good package. And
bringing back some new merchandise too, I hope.
Yeah, bring doing it right overseas. Cool. So yeah.
Well, I tell you, we want to extend an invitation to you guys again. That when you have any dates and when you have more things confirmed, come back on the show, because then we want to hear all the goss about being overseas and about all the drunken spouts we had. Okay. And obviously, we can plug the tour then also, or the Australian
shows. Yeah. Exactly. Best of luck. Hope you really enjoy yourselves, and yeah, I just hope it's completely successful for you. And I'm, yeah, as Peter said, I'm looking forward to hearing all about it too when you get back.
Cool. Thank you.
Congratulations for having it made, and thank you very much for coming into Screaming Symphony and pleasuring us and our listeners with your little
thank
stories.
You.
Okay.
Thanks for the support.
See you soon again.
Cheers.
Now we're actually going to go out with the title track. Now, any reason to tell us briefly about the title track and why you chose this song in particular?
Well, this song is actually the track that we made the film clip for. So it's again, it'll probably be the first time it's played within Australia. It was a song that came about pretty easily for us. Some songs, it's weird, like every band writes their own different ways. Some songs take ages to write, some songs, you know, are really quick. This one was, you know, very quickly written, and so far from the few people that have heard it, you know, have enjoyed it being a cool, catchy song. So yeah, this is the one that we're going with for the film clip.
Cool.
Title song.
Yeah, title track.
Congratulations again, Black Majesty. Thank you, Stevie and Hanny, for coming in. And we're going to take that track, Black Majesty, the title track to Silent Company. See you in about 3 months.
Okay, see you guys. Good luck.